First reading on the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost is from Amos, chapter 5, verses 18 through 24. Woe to you who long for the day of the Lord. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? That day will be darkness, not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion only to meet a bear, as though he entered his house and rested his hand on the wall only to have a snake bite him. Will not the day of the Lord be darkness, not light, pitch dark, without a ray of brightness? I despise your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a stench to me. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. This is the word of the Lord. Second reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind, who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. This is the word of the Lord, the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet. The door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, I greet you once again in the wonderful name of Jesus. Have you ever run out of gas in your car? Yeah, I see some heads nodding out there. I have. And I'm sure most of you know what a hassle that is, what a stressful time it is, right? I remember when I got my Prius some 10 years ago. And I thought, wow, cool. I got this car with this giant battery in it, and I can use that battery when I run out of gas. Not so much. Little did I know, things don't work that way with the Prius. The battery is there to supplement the gas engine and run at times when there's less demand on the engine, and therefore the engine can quit and I'll use less fuel. Kind of like when going downhill or when stopped at a red light or when I'm going slow in bumper-to-bumper traffic or in the parking lot or something like that. It's not for the full demand of speeding up in the car or pulling out in traffic or other peak times that may come. But I had to test it, right? And so I intentionally went below the need fuel line on my gauge. And yes, the warning lights came on. The buzzer alarm sounded for a little while. And the car went along smoothly, just like normal. For a while. And then, bam, it stopped. No other warning, no other indication. It just stopped. And I was dead in my tracks. I did have enough battery power to get off the road to get out of the way, but that was about it. Well, now I know how my car works. Luckily, I wasn't far from a gas station, but I still had to walk to it. I still had to buy a container. I still had to fill the container and go put it back in my car. And what a hassle that was. Needless to say, I was late to where I was going, and it was a relatively warm day, so I was hot and sweaty and stressed out. And man, now I had run out of gas in other cars before, way out in the middle of nowhere, and I never want to go through that again. I don't know about you, but when I look at my gas gauge now, when it gets to a certain point, I go get gas in it. I get nervous that I'm going to be running on empty. And so I'm careful to take the warning seriously and not push it. There's some people that live their lives not taking the warning seriously. They just go out there and they figuratively constantly run out of gas and they have to deal with it. Well, this experience reminded me of our gospel lesson today that Jesus taught, the parable about the 10 virgins or bridesmaids from Matthew 25. However, the message of this parable has much more serious and everlasting consequences. In the gospel lesson, Jesus is teaching his disciples. He's teaching them about the end of days. Previously to this, they had asked him about the future. They had asked him about when time would end. And he told them there were things that needed to happen before he would come again in his second coming. And people that were watching, that were kind of tuned in, they would see these signs of things that maybe time is getting short, but no one would know the hour or the day or the hour that Jesus would come again. And the end of time would come quickly. And he likened it to the days of Noah. You remember Noah? Noah knew that it was going to flood. He knew that God was going to decimate everything that was on the face of the earth. But he told Noah to build an ark, to get ready, to save himself, to save the animals and the things that Noah took on the ark with him. But Noah didn't know when it was going to rain. But he was ready. That ark was built at the right time. He put the animals on the ark. And I'm sure that the people around Noah knew, saw what he was doing. I mean, how could you not see him building a giant ark? And I'm sure Noah talked to the people and said, God's going to destroy the earth. But they didn't believe him until it was too late. Well, this parable that Jesus told in our lesson today is part of the warnings to his followers to be prepared. Be prepared for his second coming. Now, we need to understand a few things about this parable. First, Jesus was talking to his followers. He was talking to the people that believed him or supposed to have believed him and not to people that didn't know who he was. These people supposedly already knew that he was the Son of God, kind of like us. I mean, just imagine that Jesus is talking to us this morning. Notice at the beginning, all 10 bridesmaids were alike. They all came together. They all went out together. They expected to participate in the coming of the groom and participate in the wedding feast and the wedding celebration. But half of them weren't prepared at all for the coming of the groom. Now, no one knew when the groom was going to come, and so they all waited together. for whatever reason, these five bridesmaids didn't have oil or fuel in their lamps. Notice that they didn't run out of fuel. They never had fuel to begin with. You know, the modern day equivalent of that is going out at night with a flashlight that doesn't have batteries in it, like I showed the children. Now, it may have been that they tried to light their lamps when the groom came, but all they were burning was the wick, and you know, that doesn't last very long. They all should have known that their lamps need fuel so that the wick can keep burning. But they didn't think about it until it was too late. Have you ever known people like that? Where they just rush out and they got one focus on their mind and they don't even think about this all, you know, bringing with them all the things that they need to do what they need to do, and consequently sometimes their lives tend to be a mess. Well, these foolish bridesmaids here, these foolish women thought, maybe they thought they had plenty of time, that they rushed out with the other bridesmaids and they got there and they said, okay, well, you know, I'm going to have time to go buy some oil when I get there. I'll cross that bridge when I come to it. But you know what? The bridegroom was late coming, and they all fell asleep. Or maybe these bridesmaids just didn't want to take time to buy oil. They thought they would rely on the other people to give them some oil so that they wouldn't have to go buy it for themselves. For whatever reason, they were not prepared for the bridegroom to come. Then suddenly, the bridegroom came. And they all were awakened, startled. Of course, the foolish women wanted the other women to bail them out, but they didn't. And by the time they realized their folly, it was too late. The bridegroom came, the wedding feast started, the doors were shut, and they were excluded. Well, this parable is about the state of the kingdom of God at the second coming of Jesus. This time, Jesus is not coming as a little baby. No, he's coming as the judge, as the conqueror, as our king, as the bridegroom of his church. You see, there are some people who appear to be in the kingdom of God. However, they're not prepared. They may look like Christians. They may associate with Christians. They may even think they are Christians. However, their hearts are not right with God, and they're unprepared for Jesus to come again. That's why Jesus gave this parable as a warning. The oil in the parable here is faith, faith in Jesus. Some will come to the wedding feast of the Lamb on that last day without faith for whatever reason. They may think that, you know, I've got plenty of time to get right with God, you know. I've got plenty of time to kind of check out this Jesus guy who everybody's talking about. But for now, you know, they just want to do their own thing and they want to do it on their own timetable. And therefore, they don't expose themselves to the Word of God so that they can hear about Jesus and hear about how He is the Savior for their sins. And consequently, they don't receive faith in God to believe that Jesus is their Savior. The reason the five wise bridesmaids couldn't share their fuel is because you can't share your faith with somebody else. I mean, give them a piece of your faith. You can tell them where to find it. You can tell them that God will give it to them. But you can't give someone a part of your own faith. They have to receive it for themselves. But some people just won't have it when Jesus returns. As they say, you can't light an empty lamp. You know, in John's Gospel, Jesus says to His followers then, He says, "Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray Him. He went on to say, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. I mean, think about it. The people in his following number included Judas at this time, right? Well, Judas, we know, was not a true believer in Jesus. You know, and if you look all through the New Testament, Jesus and the other apostles warn us about people wanting to be saved at the last moment, but it'll be too late. As an example, from Luke 13, Jesus said, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I don't know you or where you come from. Then you will say, we ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers. There are people that say that they're Christians, but are really wolves in sheep's clothing. These are false prophets. These are the people that want to deceive us and try to get us to turn away from the true Jesus. Now, you see some of these people on TV. Some of them have written books purporting to reveal mysteries about Christ, but they're not biblical in nature. In fact, whole religions have been concocted by these false prophets, but they're not supported by Scripture. Well, like I said, Jesus gave this parable as a warning for us to be aware of our faith, to be aware of our eternal salvation. Kind of like a warning light with a buzzer going on. Now, this is not intended to have us cause to constantly worry about whether or not we're saved. No. We know and we believe that if we have faith of Jesus in our hearts, we are saved. But the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 13, he says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. And I trust that you will discover that we have not failed the test. So what is this test? What would that look like? Well, here are some things to consider. Those who have a saving faith in Jesus live a much different life than they did when they were non-believers. As Jesus said, we must be born again. We must become a new person. And if we're born again, we don't conform anymore to the way the world does things. We follow the way Jesus wants us to live. That's not to say we're perfect. We certainly are not perfect. But we do ask forgiveness every time we stumble. We remember our baptism every day, the waters that washed away our sin and that sealed us as children of God. We recognize that God's Holy Spirit is living within us and guiding us and admonishing us when we do stumble. We recognize that we're in the process of being sanctified or made holy. And our old selves are drowned in our baptismal waters every day, and our new self comes up and is made more and more like Jesus every single day. And we want to know Jesus on a more personal basis. We have a desire to read God's Word and to learn more about it. And we can see spiritual truths that previously we were blind to. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, he said, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness. and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to mere human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Those who have faith in Jesus live their lives for God and are eager to do His work while we're living on this earth. We rejoice in helping others find faith and bolster their new lives in Christ. There's another indicator of our faith in Jesus, and that is that we don't fear death like we once used to as non-believers. We have confidence that we're saved and that we're covered by Jesus' blood, and so that when we enter into our heavenly rest, we will be welcomed by God and by Jesus when we die. We have no reason to fear death. In fact, we're kind of happy to leave this life behind and look forward to the day when the bridegroom does come, because our lamps are full. Our hearts are full of faith. Now, I could go on and on, because you can see there's an abundance of evidence of faith in a person's heart. So how did you do in the examination? Now, I don't have time to go further in this. I wish I did. But I tell you, if any of you have any doubts about your faith or about your salvation, I will be glad to meet with you individually, privately. Because God wants you to be fully assured that your sins are forgiven, that you do have a salvation that is certain. He wants you to be confident that you're not one of the foolish bridesmaids. He doesn't want you to have fear or nervousness about whether or not you're running on empty in this life. He wants you to always be ready whenever Jesus comes, either individually or as the world in as a whole. He wants you to have fuel in your lamp because He loves you. And He wants you inside that wedding feast. He wants you dancing with your groom, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.